I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by a couple of board members from SNEA, the Storage Networking Industry Alliance, including the board chair of SNEA, Jay Metz, and the communications co-chair and SNEA board member, Scott Shadley. Jay, Scott, thanks for joining me for this chat on the Scaling Intelligence podcast.
Well, thanks for having us. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, glad to be a part of it.
So, Jay, I'm going to start with you on the first question, because SNEA is an organization that Intersect 360 Research has worked with over our history of nearly two decades. But it's really been intensifying recently and becoming, I think, more relevant than at any other point in our history. In case anyone else didn't notice, it really seems to us as analysts that there's been a big inflection point in the industry right now with, of course, AI is what everyone's talking about. I think the more fundamental difference is hyperscale computing versus the rest of on-premises. Have you seen that from your chair at SNEA in terms of how SNEA is evolving in the changes in scalable infrastructure trends, whether it's AI, hyperscale, cloud, things like that?
Well, so there's a bit of a historical question there that we have to kind of parse out of that, because quite frankly, we at SNEA have been, going through some internal, reorganization, as you say, some redesign about how we intend to work with our member companies, but also end users, and not to mention the technical problems that we've got. A long time ago, way back when the dinosaurs were around, we were very focused on the networking aspect of things. We were talking about big iron, and over the years since then, we've moved from the big centralized storage to distributed storage to software defined storage to really small data bits being moved around. And now we're at a stage where that granularity has increased to an infinitesimal level, where the nature of solving problems has gotten so minute that you can't just simply have this monolithic approach. And SNEA, as an organization, has had to evolve in the same way. So in order to be able to solve these problems, we've had to rethink the way that we're organized. We've had to rethink the way that we have members. We've had to rethink the way that we do work. We've had to rethink the way that we create communities about the whole thing. And then, so as a result, we are now really well suited to solve a very real problem that has come out because of the fact that this quote unquote hype for AI is causing everybody to lose their ever loving minds. That's number one. And then two, they have to figure out, well, how do I get to where I want to be, even if I don't know where that want to be is? And so we're solving a number of issues, and we're addressing a number of issues about asking the right questions, not just trying to come up with the right answers. And we're a place where I think a lot of people are starting to feel very comfortable with coming in and saying, you know what, I have an idea. I want to see if this idea can raise some interest from other people, but it's not a locked in, this is the way we have to do it, this is what we need to do, and I don't have a voice there. So that's why SNEA is actually really getting a lot of momentum, I believe.
I really resonate with what you said about asking questions about what are the problems that need to be solved. I'm seeing a growing disconnect between, everyone's talking and nobody's listening in terms of what the actual problems are that need to be solved. And Scott, you were nodding along as Jay was talking. I know that probably hurts your neck to do that. But, when you look at new initiatives like storage.ai, I was very interested in that coming out of SNEA. What goes into, is that a follow on to what Jay was just talking about in terms of positioning of what kinds of things need to get done in the industry now? Of problems?
Yeah. It's an interesting situation, and it's kind of like the concept of the evolution or die kind of thing. When I first got involved in SNEA, almost as far back as the dinosaurs, I'm not going to date myself that much, but I was an active participant. My job was to represent my company in a working group on doing something this and that. And over the years that evolved, and now I've had the luxury of sitting on the board and now actually helping drive like the communication or output of SNEA to the broader industry. And one of the things I've noticed through all of that is that as part of that evolution, the storyline, the base storyline is still there. We're all a group of companies that have been working together to try to solve a common need and an end goal. but the participation level and the activities that are involved in that, we have a new spin on that with the evolution of this. As we get into things like storage.ai, where we're having software-only companies, hardware-only companies, consumers of those products, everybody's coming together in this forum and in this environment where we can all openly share conversations, topics, directions, and actually, to Jay's point, solve a problem. Because you can talk to a software engineer out there and they say, hardware? Well, that's just the stuff my data sits on. You can talk to the hardware guy and say, what are they doing with their software? It doesn't work with my hardware. And we're actually, SNE is one of those few footprints or platforms or areas or abilities to actually bring that all together in a cohesive way and move it forward with no one set objective other than solving everybody's problem by listening to everybody's questions.
I've always thought of the hardware as the parts of the infrastructure that you're able to kick, whereas data and software, you can only swear at. That's the big difference there. Jay, how are you thinking about storage.ai right now? This is a big initiative from you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking of it from a holistic perspective, right? And so the holistic perspective is that the AI workload is not a workload. It's multiple workloads. It's many different types of workloads, and they all have different characteristics.
Important point, but keep going. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, and when you combine that with the next problem, which is that the data is not there, you have to get it into the system to be able to do it, then you start realizing that I've got to go around all around Robin Hood's barn to be able to get the data into the system at the right time, at the right place, for the right workload section during the epoch. Because sometimes I need to have, very high sustained reads. I need to have large throughput. I need to have low latency, all depending upon what the actual part of the workload I'm trying to do is. And that's not a one size fits all. That's not a paint it and forget it kind of a thing. And so to that end, we need to be able to understand what the right tool for the job is at the right time. And so that's what we're looking to do holistically. If I don't have the data where it needs to be, when it needs to be, and make sure it's the right data and the secure data, remember, all of that stuff is very non-trivial, right? Then I am going to increase my risk. I'm going to increase the idleness of these very expensive GPUs and TPUs and what have you. I'm going to spend a lot of time, energy, and money not doing actual work because I'm doing all of the checkpointing and the backups and the reference points that need to be made in case something goes wrong, which is always going to go wrong. I need to do more work to get to do work than to actually do the work. And ultimately, that means that somebody somewhere needs to look at the big picture and say, well, I need to get this data from over here, transform it into a place that I can use it so that I can put it over there, and I need to put it back into a place where I can use it again in the future. All of those different pieces of the puzzle, they're very, very, very small and very minute in the terms of the way that the architecture and the references work. At the same time, it is a very big problem because we're talking about massive scale. We're talking tens or hundreds of thousands of these accelerators, all with very, very sensitive and fragile approaches to processing and accessing data. So it's both very big and very finite at the same time.
One of the things we've been doing, of course, is working with our HPC AI leadership organization, or HALO, about what this looks like when it's on-premises computing. Hyperscale computing is all its own thing. And first of all, we found that there's a tremendous overlap in on-premises computing between the new AI and the legacy HPC, that the organizations who are doing it on-premises are probably doing it because they have that heritage in scalable computing, but that they can often, even though they're sharing infrastructure, sharing data, they drive different requirements. We already published on storage and data management, the growing what we call satisfaction gap, high satisfaction or high importance, low satisfaction in areas like performance on small files or high throughput, which goes right back to what you were talking about, Jay, with these infinitesimal problems that these legacy HPC storage systems don't solve quite as well when you start applying them to machine learning. So Scott, what I want to ask you, and we presented that in Denver at the last SNEA Developer Conference. I'm going to present again in September at the STC event in Santa Clara. We'll focus more there on the networking side than storage and data management. But Scott, I'm building up to asking you, when you look at these kinds of what advanced computing looks like today, both the technology and the solutions. Where do you see gaps in the market that need we really need to address? And, you know, what role does SNIA have there?
You know, it's an interesting one, because I have to admit that I would say, kind of leaning back to a little bit of what Jay has already talked to, it's a timing. And I'm not talking about it's timing as in today or now or next year or whatever. I'm talking about nanoseconds, milliseconds, microseconds. When we first started seeing the storage evolution revolution, when solid state drives came into play and you're now mixing SSDs and hard drives everywhere, we had a whole timing problem then, where SSDs were so fast, the software didn't know when to look for it. So it sat there and waited and waited and waited, even though the information was already there. And that's because there was timing
mismatches. That won't be a problem, because didn't you know that 15 years ago, as soon as we introduced SSDs, that hard disks are dead and we're not going to have them anymore? Yeah,
that's another conversation.
Oh, just like tape, right? Tape
yeah. going away. I guess the end result of it is timing. And Jay kind of pointed out, we've got so many different people or elements trying to talk to one another, and they're all doing it their way. And you have some people that have gotten some great traction on their way, and other people that got great traction on their way. But what we really need is our way to get this all together and bring it to a point where the communication stream solves that universal translator problem. And that's what I see SNIA as. I kind of like this. I'm going to my Star Trek references, and you know, you have your universal translator on your collar that lets this language or this conversation talk to this conversation without having to learn something new or completely rewrite it. But you're able to put the pieces together appropriately. And that's what we're trying to do here. And everything is growing so fast and so quick right now that we're starting to, you know, shoot past the duck, you know, shooting behind the duck, not in front of the duck, whatever you want to call, you know, pick your favorite, you know, colloquialism, if you will. But that's where I see where SNIA and what SNIA has been doing and will continue to do on this ability to drive the technology successfully forward, right? SNIA doesn't have a vested interest as an entity to make one person look better than the other. It's about bringing the entire industry, the entire market, and everyone who uses it a more successful conclusion. And that's really one of the beautiful things about SNIA, is it's not out there for, oh, we're number one, or we're the best, or we have it first. It's no, let's all work together and be one happy big family in the most appropriate and effective way.
Well, sticking with you for a second then, Scott, how does that relate to other industry standards or standard bodies, whether it's something specific on the technology side like Ultra Ethernet Consortium in networking, or something in memory like CXL, or a broader manufacturing standard like OCP for hyperscale? Do you have to interplay with those things, or what's the relationship?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of effort on what we'd classify as alliances or collaboration agreements, whatever the favorite term of the day is. But we also know we're not the smartest in everything. So we have to be willing to work with, leverage, and engage with the experts on these things, right? So again, I'm a storage guy. I always have been. I've been in storage for almost 30 years now, sadly. But I can do a great bit of work there myself as a contributor to SNIA. You've got someone like Jay who spent many years in networking and other things, and he's got his perspective on it. So working with, you know, OCP, DMTF, all of these different organizations, TCG for security, for example, IEEE, those are paramount to make sure that you can do that. And one of the best things that we can do is play the conductor in the orchestra and know that we're never going to be the perfect person to play first chair, but we know how to help first chair along with the rest of the orchestra.
Storage, is that still around?
Oh,
a lot of good metaphors. You're right.
I'm on one today. I don't know what it is. Yeah, sorry. It's going to be one of those kind of conversations.
Okay, I'll go back to you to kind of wrap up then, assuming you agree with things that Scott was saying.
Let's not go that far.
Why does that? Yeah, how does this make the pitch about why SNIA is important going forward, and then how should people engage with you with it?
Well, the one thing I would like to segue or add a tail on to what Scott said was that what we are, as he points out, we're smart enough to know that we're not smart enough to know everything. And we're also smart enough to know what we can and shouldn't try to tackle by ourselves. So one of the things that we need to acknowledge is that while we know we have to have access to data across a network, we don't really necessarily do the network. We don't do InfiniBand. We don't do Ultra Ethernet. We don't do the IEEE or IETF stuff. So it's very important that we work with those organizations where possible and where it's important to make sure that other companies and other members can leverage the work that's already been done. We don't want to necessarily reinvent that wheel. We want to tune these solutions for the workloads. That's kind of what we want to do. And so we've got relationships with UEC. We've got relationships with OCP. There are more on the way, because the problem is that you have, at every given point in time, the AI problem is somebody's problem. It's not just somebody else's problem, right? So for instance, if I'm doing memory movement and I need to be very careful about the memory movement that happens inside the kernel of a CPU, or I have the memory buffers inside of a GPU, wherever that data is at any given point in time, it's their problem. And when you are expecting something and you don't have it, it's your problem. And when you're somebody is waiting for you, it's your problem. And that could be the GPU, it could be a TPU, it could be a DPU, it could be any kind of PU you want, right? And that's exactly the problem that you're going to have, is that it's going to stink if you don't get what you need. So we need to know that if you're talking about scale up, it's going to be a GPU memory movement problem. If you're talking scale out, it is a networking data problem. Knowing how to work with these organizations that can solve the problems from the GPU side, the networking side, the data side, the SSD side, and so on and so forth, means that you have to humbly admit that you need to recognize that you can only do so much and make yourself open to working with other organizations. Not only that, and this is where it goes to your question, Addison, it also requires being able to be willing to listen to what the end users want and need, right? Because ultimately, I can only imagine so much. I can run thought experiments till the cows come home. But at the same time, I will never be able to say, I have equal amount of experience coming from a software design perspective, as well as a hyperscale need perspective, or a GPU based perspective, and so on and so forth. We need to have these end users. We need to have these small startup companies who have these great ideas to be able to have the access to share those with everybody else, alongside the more established, well-developed organizations, because otherwise, the problems are not going to be solved in a resonance that is going to be useful for the end user. It's going to make somebody's life miserable if they don't have the voice. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here. And now the good news is that the culture of the industry ecosystem has shifted, right? It's not the way it was 20 years ago, where people were saying, you know what? We've got all the stuff that's going on, but I want it in my organization. I want to solve this problem here in my organization. What they do over in their organization is their problem, but I'm doing it in mine. We don't do that anymore. We've got lots of relationships and alliances with other organizations and partnerships to make sure that the right tool for the job is being handled. So that means that we're not working in conflict with each other. We're not going against each other. We're trying to make sure that we're all solving a problem for a greater purpose, greater in service than ourselves. And that's ultimately what we need to do in order to solve a problem that's this big. There's no other way to do it.
Well, we're like-minded in that you have to ask the questions to actually know what the end users are thinking, particularly with on-premises computing. That was the entire founding premise behind HALO, our HPC AI leadership organization. And if you're listening to this podcast and want information on that, you can find it at hpcaileadership.org. Now, with respect to SNEA, yeah, I already mentioned your SNEA developer conferences. I've been thrilled to get involved in those. But when you look at, Jay, what kinds of companies you're trying to engage with? Are you looking for those end users? Do you want technology vendors? Do you want hyperscale companies? Who should be coming and working with SNEA?
D, all of the above. I mean, so the thing is that the problems are fractal, right? We still have to deal with a kind of a horizontal and a vertical cross balance, you know, checks and balances kind of an approach. The hyperscalers have massive advantages. Right. They have massive advantages that they do things the way they want to do that. The disadvantage of a hyperscaler approach is that it's very unique to what they want to do. Right. So there's not necessarily a universal approach or a appeal to everything that each and every one of them does. The way that Microsoft does things is different. The way that Oracle does things, which is different than Amazon does things, but they do their own thing at a large scale. And that makes it very appealing for a lot of people to try to emulate. At the same time, you've got the smaller companies that have really good ideas that are much more applicable to a number of different implementations and projects, right? So the advantage that they have is that there's a broad applicability that's going on. And some of that may be applicable to the more niche, I say niche from a solution perspective, approach that the hyperscalers are doing. And so they also need to have their approach to be able to say those things. And then you've got the end users, right? And the one thing that has been missing from a lot of these conversations is, where does the end user come in and ask the stupid questions, or what they think are the stupid questions? Where do they come in and be able to say, you know what, I'm not even sure I know the right question to ask, but I need to have a place where somebody's not going to laugh at me and I can ask those questions. I can guarantee you that the work that SNIA has done over the last decade and a half about being the place where people can come in and ask questions that they're too proud to ask makes us a very strong candidate for being able to solve those issues before them. So all of them should be able to have that, because I think, quite frankly, the people who have solutions need to be able to understand what the questions are going to be to make sure they're aligned, and vice versa. The people who have the questions need to be able to refine those and understand how they're going to get the best solutions for what they're looking to do now and in the future.
A forum like that is so important for getting the proper development in the industry going forward. For someone who wants to get involved, what do they do? Go to the website? Should I just go to Scott's house and ring the doorbell? What's the best way to do it?
Well, Scott just got married. I don't know if his new wife would appreciate that, but I think the safest thing to do, the SNIA.org website talks about SNIA as a whole. The SNIA.AI website, which is part of the org one, goes specifically into the work that we're doing for the AI workload and niches and communities. So both of them are going to be really useful for somebody to come in and find in more information. And of course, you can go to one and get to the other. It's not that big of a deal.
That website again is snia.org. And I've been talking to Jay Metz and Scott Shadley from the board of SNIA. Thanks to both of you for joining me, and back to Kevin and Antonia, the Scaling Intelligence Podcast.